Well, happy celebration. I really, really hate religious holidays. This is not a religious holiday, folks. This is a celebration. Every Easter when we get together reminds me again, no matter what happens, they can't take this one away from us. This is the day when we celebrate our God's proclamation of who He really is and how He feels about us and what He offers us. And it just makes you want to celebrate. Good seeing you. Easter, it's one of those Sundays. Some of you, a few of you, probably have never been here before. After what you've seen, you may choose not to come back. I want you to know this is pretty much who we are. So you can make your decision on that basis. And who we are is just a really, really neat family. It was one of those times in human history when being religious was good enough. It was all anybody expected. It was all that most people knew. Priests and the teachers and the religious leaders explained the rules, the requirements, the things that God expected, and then they took it upon themselves to, you have to do this. They patrolled the population, encouraging the masses to follow those rules and reprimanding those who fell short. It's the way it was in Israel 2,000 years ago. A time when being religious was good enough, when being religious was pretty much all there was. Not that everybody was all that religious, of course, but everybody knew the rules. What God liked, what He didn't, what things should be done and what things could be done, and what things should never be done under any circumstances. No one's life changed, of course, but at least everyone knew the rules, knew what was expected, knew where everyone around them stood. Made a nice, neat, secure system, a predictable, controlled world in which to live. Predictable system, controlled system, a system that seemed to answer all of the important questions and strongly discouraged anyone from ever asking any new ones. But of course, that's what religion always does. Provides the adherent with a tidy little system that answers the important questions without ever even having to think, or churn, or wonder why the answers that are offered never, ever seem to be able to make the pain go away. And in exchange for all of those answers, you simply give up your freedom to question those answers that you've been given or to think up new ones that weren't covered by the package. And 2,000 years ago, religion was doing very, very well in the land of Palestine. Lines were all drawn and the rules were all written and the people were all educated, and the rulers were all respected, and the business of religion was just booming. And then some things began to happen. Things that were, they were unsettling to this carefully controlled religious system. It began with the appearance of a self-taught preacher by the name of John. Weird sort of fellow. Powerful man with a powerful message, but very, very unsettling to the world of religion. Just when all of the people had been so carefully trained and taught by word and example that form and appearance were the important things, this John came on the scene and started talking about motives and the inner attitudes of the heart. He seemed to think that this whole nation was desperately in need of repentance. Ridiculous. I mean, here was the Here was the most religious group of people on the face of the earth. And he thought they were in need of repentance. He kept talking so openly and so specifically about people's sins, calling them to turn away their heart of rebellion against their God. And that wasn't the worst of it. He also kept saying that there was another man coming after him, one that was even greater than himself, and one who was going to put everything back the way it should be. This John simply wasn't good for the world of religion. He created unrest in the people. It was all very, very unsettling. He had to be removed, of course. No decision, no choice, no alternative to that. He had to be removed, and he was. They chopped off his head. They carried it around on a platter. That should send a clear message to others who attempted to tamper with the system. Tampering with religion has often been a very, very dangerous thing for a person to do. But John was only the beginning of the disturbance in the world of religion. There was another who followed after John. Another who also disrupted things. Another who put ideas into people's minds. Another who caused them to think. And even worse, who caused them to question all of those carefully crafted answers provided by the rulers of religion. His name was Jesus. Common enough name in the first century Jewish world, but there was nothing even remotely common about the man. It was clear to everyone surrounding him that this was no ordinary teacher. He had power. He could do things that no one else could do, things that no one else had ever done before. He had the ability to heal with just a word or with the touch of his hand. And he took on himself the authority to forgive sins. He'd walk up and command people to follow him as though he had the absolute right to direct their lives. Some of those who were close to him believed that he had come from God as the promised Messiah of Israel, one who would restore Israel to its past glory and prominence in the world. Real problem came in his attitude toward religion. He simply refused to submit to the accepted religious practices of the day. He had a flagrant disregard for the accepted rules governing the observance of the Sabbath, that special holy day of the week. He didn't follow the prescribed times of fasting and prayer that had been so carefully outlined by the religious rulers. And when he selected men for his disciples, he passed over the studious young men who were under the training of the established Jewish leaders, and he chose men from several of the dirty little holes in Jewish society. Working men. Men of somewhat questionable character. Even more questionable submission to the world of religion. In short, he broke a whole bunch of religious rules that he could so easily have kept. Like his predecessor John, he had to be dealt with. I mean, he had to be silenced. He clearly, obviously, had to be removed. Delicate business getting rid of this one. He had some extremely loyal followers, and his tricks had won him a lot of friends. But in the end, it was accomplished. Roman political leaders were enlisted for the purpose. Some comments were made about this Jesus, saying something about him wanting to be the self-proclaimed king of the Jews. I mean, that was all it took. Self-proclaimed kings could not be allowed to live. Politics and religion have so often held hands throughout history. They seem to understand one another so well. They They so often share the same basic goals, goals of power and control over people's lives. And when it came to this Jesus, both the religion and the politics of the day agreed he really did have to go. And in the end, it was accomplished. Not beheading this time, crucifixion. Nailed him alive to a couple of crossed wooden beams and let him hang there for a number of hours until he finally died. It's all very unsettling, but then, of course, tampering with religion has often been a very, very dangerous thing for people to do. But then something happened for which religion had no answers. Something happened that religion could not control. Something happened that just simply couldn't happen. Something happened that had never happened before, something devastating to the neat, tidy, controlled world of religion. This person, this Jesus, this man of miracles from Galilee refused to stay in the grave. Apostle Paul put it this way. He said that Jesus was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And through his resurrection, Jesus Christ offered the world an amazing alternative to the world of religion. He offered the world himself with his life, with his death, his resurrection. He said to the world, listen, no longer do you have to live in frustration, fear, futility, trying to reach your God through obedience to all of your rules and your lists and your rituals. Look at what I've done. Through my death for your sins, I have opened the way for you to stand forever free, forever holy, in the very presence of God Himself. Your sins have become my sins, and I've paid the debt in full. All I ask from you is that you come, you choose to receive what I offer you freely. See what happened? Religion took Jesus, placed him in a grave. Then Jesus took religion and did the same. John writes, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they've taken away the Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. I got you. I love that. I see. He spoke her name. And the first time in the conversation, he says, woman, opening the conversation. But when she heard him speak her name, he knew. And that's the way it is with all of us. When we hear him speak our name, then we get it. Not for the world he died. It's for me. Mary, she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Now that's John's account of Mary's first encounter with the risen Christ. Love that account because it pictures so well what so often happens in the lives of those who ultimately discover that he's alive. It starts out with Mary coming to the tomb that was created by the religion in her world. Religion had taken the only hope that she'd ever known, crucified that hope, killed it dead, and then sealed it in a tomb. And that's what religion always does. Do you want peace with God? Religion says, you want peace with yourself? You want hope beyond the grave? Well, then just follow these rules and just keep these commandments. Obey and you will have what you so desperately long for. Come, don't be afraid. I'll show you the way. And so we come and we try and we work very hard to be good enough, long enough to get the peace with our God and with ourselves that we so desperately long for. But in the end, what looked like hope, well, it turns into a tomb. Because it's so hard to keep the rules. Sometimes we forget, and sometimes we don't know exactly what the rules are. And well, and then sometimes, truth is, we just don't care. Religion just keeps saying, try harder, try harder. You can do it, just try a little more. And Mary stood and stared into the tomb created by her religion, just like we stare into the tomb created by our own. But then she turned around and discovered to her amazement that the one that she thought was dead was really, truly, honestly, literally alive. And it was that knowledge, that glorious, amazing, wonderful knowledge that changed everything forevermore. She went away from that encounter with just one incredible message. I have seen the Lord. And she met the other followers of Jesus and they called her a fool and told her to hush up. It didn't matter because she knew because she had seen the Lord. And when the religious leaders around her tried to get her to play their games, it had no power over her because she had seen the Lord. He was alive. With his life, he had put to death all the religious systems and replaced them with himself. There are so many remarkable events that accompanied the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. One of my favorites is actually a single comment. It's just that one line that is included in Matthew's account. It's talking about the events immediately surrounding the crucifixion of Christ. And in Matthew 27:51, it says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Now that took place at the instant that the body of Christ died on the tomb. The veil being talked about was this massive curtain that separated the holy place in the temple from the Holy of Holies, that heart of the temple that symbolized the very presence of God. No one was ever allowed within the Holy of Holies except the high priest, and then just once a year, and then only bringing the blood of a perfect sacrifice into the presence of God to offer as atonement for the sins of the nation. But when Christ died, that veil was torn in two from the top to the bottom, torn by God Himself to proclaim to the world that through His death, Christ had now opened the way for everyone to enter into the very presence of God without fear, knowing their debt was paid forever. Now and forevermore, all that mattered was Jesus, hearing His voice, following His lead, choosing to trust Him each step of the way. And that same pattern has been lived out again and again and again in the lives of the people of God for the past 2,000 years. It happened to an 18-year-old kid in the fall of 1966. He too had gone to the tomb of religion looking for life. He knew the rules, knew the importance of obeying them, and he tried. He really did. But sometimes he forgot, and sometimes he wasn't real sure what the right rules were, and then sometimes he found that he just didn't really care. After trying very hard for what seemed like a very long time, he just sort of gave up. What he thought would bring him life brought him just death, condemnation. And then he turned around and found himself confronted with a very real, living Christ. And just as that Christ had walked up to men and women 2,000 years ago and asked them to turn their lives over to Him, so He asked that confused, frustrated teenager to do the same. And I said yes. From that day, nothing has ever been the same. It didn't all get fixed in an instant. Big messes in my life. And truth is, some of them will never get fixed this side of the resurrection of the people of God. But from that day forward, He's always there, bathing His Son in grace and immersing Him in love and carrying Him through life one day at a time. All the rules of religion were replaced by this person, this person who couldn't be real and yet who was and who is and who will forevermore be. I think some of you here this morning have spent much of your life staring into the tomb of religion. You've seen their rules that you should keep, things that you really should do, and things that you really should stop doing. And you've tried, but in the end, it all looked like what it was, a huge, horrible doorway into death. Well, on this Easter morning, let me share with you an alternative. The person of Jesus Christ. He doesn't hand you another list. He just offers you Himself. His death to deal with that messy business of your sins, and His life to literally be lived in you, through you, with you, one moment, one step at a time, forever. He will not take your life if you refuse to give it. But He will transform it from the inside out, one day, one step, one issue, one agony at a time, if you choose to place it into His hands. And this I can assure you absolutely. He knows the pathway from death to life, from hopelessness to hope, from fear to freedom. He knows because He's traveled it Himself, and He now seeks to show you exactly the same path, and not just to show it to you, but to walk it with you, and when the way gets really, really tough, to carry you through it, until you too proclaim with absolute certainty, He's alive, and wonder of wonders, so am I forevermore. Happy Easter. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Lord, deliver us from complicating what you've made so simple. Deliver us from clinging to what appears to be the security of religion that actually blinds us to the reality of your life within us. In our own ways, Lord, we've all sort of tried to do it for you and to do it for ourselves, and it's been such a mess. Thank you, Lord, that what you offer us is not a better system. What you offer us is a living God who loves us with a love eternal and a commitment to live within us and to remake us from the inside out. God, give us ears to hear your love and give us hearts to respond to it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.